Chairman.
Will do. Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice posted in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board in Municipal Building, notice made available at the town, Township Clerk, and notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
We got Mr. Weissman.
Here.
Mr. Tillery.
Here.
Mr. Patel.
Here.
Mr. Reggio.
Here.
Mr. Blount.
Here.
Mr. Hidaka.
Here.
Mr. Mitterondo.
Here.
And Chairman Cahill.
Here. Well, everyone, please.
Excuse, I'm sorry, Chairman, one second. Mr. Ali, will you be joining us this evening, or are you gonna? I know you have to go.
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Ali is here.
Thank you, Mr. Ali. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Kinley, do we have any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, we have a number of changes to tonight's agenda. The application of NBAD 1 on Park Avenue is adjourned until February 9th with no further notice. The Supardi application on Runyon Avenue has been withdrawn and will not be heard. 100 Lakeview is adjourned until January 25th with no further notice. And Mr. Chairman, I must note that this has been adjourned quite a few times. Would you like me to send them a letter?
Yeah, I think that we should dismiss this without prejudice.
Okay, I'll tell them that if they're not ready to go on the 25th, we'll entertain a motion to dismiss.
Yes, I appreciate that, Mr. Kinley. Thank you.
The last change we have is LNR Properties on Normandy Drive. That's adjourned until January 25th, 2024, with no further notice.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir. Let's move ahead to item number 6, 23-ZB-81V, Alan Cruz.
Is Mr. Cruz present?
Hello, everyone. Yes, I am present.
Sir, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Absolutely.
Your name and address, please.
Alan Cruz, 781 Maple Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Can you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Yes, hello. Thank you, everyone, for your time. First of all, I would like to, I have a fence on the side of my house that is on Hamilton Boulevard. And it's a short fence on the back half of the property. And I wanted to bring that fence outward and then also forward on Maple Avenue, which is the front side of my property, just to wrap around it to the left if you were facing the house in that direction or north, the north side.
Did you receive Mr. Hinterstein's report of October 26th?
Yes, I did.
And can you comply with those items?
Yes, my one request, and on this, the list was also a mention of the shed, which I just want to acknowledge. That was only a 0.2 difference deviation from the required 3 feet. And it, according to the notice, he deemed it minimal. So I appreciate that if that's acceptable. But with the proposed side on Hamilton Avenue, I believe his proposal says 15 feet from the Hamilton Boulevard side. And obviously, wanting to maximize safety and space, I was requesting to have it closer to our property line, possibly 10 feet or 6 feet or whatever I could possibly get.
And Mr. Chadwick, can you weigh in on that?
Let me just comment. The board has had requests for fences in the front yard area and has almost always has required a minimum of 15 feet or more. And that all has to do with the maintaining a roadscape as opposed to fences out under the roadway. And I support Henry's recommendation.
And Mr. Hinterstein's report also notes that your current proposal places the fence in the site triangle easement. That would be a safety issue.
Correct.
Yes, no, I and if I may ask, is
you also and you want to release this data?
I'm sorry?
No, that was
someone else speaking.
Apologies. First time homeowner. So forgive me, for not knowing and forgive me in advance for any additional questions. I had seen, my family and I were asking, I was asking also in addition to that far out, being that, in our neighborhood or in and around our neighborhood, I've seen also corner properties with the fence pushed out as, 10, 12 feet from the curb line. So that was one part of the nature of my request. And of course, I wouldn't want anything to hinder any safety, and I don't pretend to know the details of the site triangle. But would it make a difference if for our front fence, the maple side, if we were to be 25 feet back from there, would that gain us any additional on the Hamilton Boulevard side?
No, they're not related.
Okay. Well, again, I leave it to you, but I'm requesting to have as much as I possibly could, of course.
There's a process in getting a variance that you haven't addressed at all. I don't expect you to do that because you would have to attend a number of zoning board meetings to understand that you have to show a specific hardship or that there's something particular to your property that you can't comply. And that just isn't the case. You're getting a variance, significant variance as it is. So, I mean, they could make you put the fence at the front yard setback, and now it's, tight up against, almost against the house. So I would suggest that you agree with the report, and let's all move on.
Thank you kindly. I appreciate it. And again, thank you for your patience. But yes, again, I heed to their recommendations. That way, that we can all move on.
Okay. So if you're okay with that 15 feet, I'm pretty sure we could approve this, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Cruz. Any other members of the board have any questions for Mr. Cruz? Any comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I make a motion to approve this application. Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz, your application as amended has been approved. We will memorialize it at our next meeting in January. We'll send a copy of that document to you, and you'll need that for your permits.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. Greatly appreciate your time and your energy. Thank you very much.
Have a good night, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, everyone.
Let's move on to item number 7, 23-ZB-93B, Azar Naqvi.
Is Azar Naqvi present?
Present here.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How's everyone?
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Absolute truth.
Thank you. Your name and address, please.
My name is Azar Naqvi, and I live at 75 Hall Street, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here?
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can speed this along for the applicant. The only request here is to the applicant to agree to allow for access through the easement in the back. Otherwise, there are no recommendations. Are you agree?
Yes.
Can you agree with that, sir?
Yes.
Good. It saves a lot of time and energy. Any other members of the board have any questions for this applicant? Any comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Naqvi, your application has been approved. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and send that document to you. You'll need that for your permit.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
Good luck, sir. Good
thank
luck.
You. Have a good night. Appreciate it. Thank you. Be well.
Item number 8, 23-ZB-90V, Sheila Hobson. Is Sheila Hobson present?
It's Shalia Hobson.
Shalia, I apologize, ma'am.
It's okay.
Thank you. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Shalia Hobson, 2602 Wade Street, Piscataway, New Jersey, 08854.
Thank you. Could you explain why you're here?
Yes, I'm applying for a variance. My property, when I purchased my home, there was a shed, a pool, and a fence. That was 20 years ago. I put up a new fence about 3 months ago, and I didn't apply for a permit because the fence person told me that it was in kind and that I didn't need one. But apparently I did. So I came to DPW and I applied for a variance for all the items that's on my property because I didn't know that there was never a permit for any of them because I bought the property in 2004.
Mr. Chadwick, chime in for a second.
Officer Dev, did you see the report of a Mr. Henry Interesting?
I'm sorry, are you speaking to me, sir?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, what was the question?
Did you see the report from it's from Henry Interesting. It says Division of Engineering and Planning and Development. Did you see that report?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I mailed it out to you, Ms. Hobson, about a month or so ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't recall.
There's a number of things that he's recommending that adjust the location of various sheds. Nothing would happen if we carried this to the meeting in January. Everything would stay the same. You don't have to take your fence down. You don't have to do anything. But I think you should read this report and contact Mr. Interesting so that you can either agree or disagree with his recommendations.
I just remembered when you said about the shed. I think in his report, he talked about moving the fence back. I think that was what he said. But
well, that's why I'm suggesting that you talk to him. I did a reconnaissance before this meeting, and the fence is there.
Yes.
So to move it, I think you might want to discuss that with Mr. Interstein.
Mm-hmm.
The other adjustments to the sheds, I think it would be better off if you spoke with him directly. Nothing will fall off this edge of the world here if you push it back to January. And I'm sure the board would let this go forward with no further advertising.
I absolutely agree, Ms. Hobson. I think it's in your best interest to deal with Mr. Interstein one-on-one so you can better ascertain your options.
Okay.
We don't want to move ahead. If you don't agree to the stuff that we're talking about right now, we don't want to go ahead with a vote now because it wouldn't probably be in your best interest. So, Laura, can we put this on for the late January meeting?
Well, we could do January 11th.
Oh, okay. That's even better. Does anyone know Henry's back?
He's back on Tuesday.
Okay, good. I'll just have Ms. Hobson try and get in touch with him if you would. Get in touch with Laura, and she'll put you over to his office, and then you can coordinate a meeting.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So anybody here on the Hobson matter, 2602 Wade Street, that matter is going to be adjourned until January 11th, 2024, with no further notice by the applicant. The only notice you're receiving is my announcement here tonight. Okay, thank you, Ms. Hobson.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
See you next month. Item number 9, 23-ZB-98V, Shiv Patel.
Good evening, members of the board, board professionals. This is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here representing Shiv K. Patel for a property located on 165 Kossuth Street. The purpose of this application is the applicant is looking to build a second story addition to the house. There are a number of variances that were called out, although none of these are caused by the second story addition. These are all existing variances that were put in place by the previous owner of the property. If you look at those variances, I'll just highlight some quickly. They're all related to setbacks, and they're all rather de minimis. Some of them are as low as basically half a foot. And as I said, they are existing. The only one that is not setback related is a fence that is in the current right-of-way. I do have a report from Mr. Hinterstein that's dated December 11, 2023. There's really only three comments on that, and just taking the tenor of the evening, I think I'll just address these quickly, and I think that'll go that'll be the quickest way to go about this. We will agree to all of Mr. Hinterstein's comments. His first comment is to basically remove the fence from the right of way. So that does eliminate one of the variances that we were requesting. We were hoping to keep it there, but I had a conversation with the applicant, and we do agree to, if we are approved, to condition that on removing the fence. There's also a call for some screening and buffering around the existing garage. We will comply with that as well. And finally, there's a call for a 5-foot temporary construction easement with which we will agree with as well. Shiv Patel is present. I don't believe he would need to directly testify, but he is here if the board has any questions of him. Apart from that, I have one witness that would be our architect, Mr. Steve Druga, who is present and is just going to briefly take us around the proposal. And then I think that would be it for us.
Please proceed.
There are no variances associated with the building construction.
That's correct, Mr. Chadwick. These are all existing variances. Nothing is being triggered by the additional second story.
Yeah. And I think the pictures speak for themselves. It's up to the board.
Yeah, I think we can move forward with this at this point. I don't think we need to hear any further testimony, unless any other members of the board have any questions or comments.
I am picking up what you're putting down, Mr. Cahill. I will leave it to the board to make their decision.
Appreciate you.
To confirm, you've agreed with all of the recommendations of the report.
Correct. All of all three comments of Mr. Hinterstein's will be agreed with. Will be
perfect. Compliant. Any other members of the board have any questions? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Any member of the public have any questions or comments about this application?
Anyone in the public, if you would like to comment, you'd have to raise your hand so I could see that you have a question. No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We'll memorialize it in January. Okay, moving forward, let's go to item number 10, 23-ZB-64/65V, BYO-USA.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Stahl, I really have nothing to say. I'm really here just to receive the decision. You will recall that there were five members present at the hearing last month. And, to protect my client, although I trust the board, I elected to wait until this month where additional members could read and certify the transcript. If you have any questions, any member has a question, Mr. Keneally, I have I have my engineer on this phone call, Chris Zillet, and we'll answer any questions if there are any.
All of the members present tonight were either present last month or have certified that they read the transcript.
Thank you very much.
Do any members of the board have any questions?
Need to open it to the public.
Yes. Do any members of the board have any questions or comments about this application?
Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Any member of the public have any comments or questions about this application? Ms. Buckland?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to unmute all of them just to make sure. Sometimes they have a problem if they're on their phone raising their hand.
Understood.
Give me one moment.
Thank you.
Okay, members of the public, does anybody have any questions or comments on VYO USA? No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application with all the conditions that we put on it at the last meeting. Can I get a second?
I second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Stahl, we'll memorialize this at our next meeting.
Thank you very much. And all of you have a very, very happy holiday and a happy new year.
Will do.
Thank you. You too. Mr. Stahl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, let's move on to item number 11. 23-ZB-95V, Kaz Beverly.
Is Kaz Beverly present?
Yes, I'm present.
Mr. Beverly, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board why you're here? First, give us your name and address.
Sorry. Sure. Kaz Beverly, 358 Hazelwood Place, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before Mr. Hazelwood, Mr. Beverly, this is a condition that's been longstanding. And the report, Mr. Hinterstein, indicates that adequate parking is available at the site, which is one of the reasons you have a garage. But the way it was done is that the garage still appears to exist from the street. So it's more of a storage area now. But I think all the aesthetic considerations and off-street parking considerations comply with township requirements, and Mr. Hinterstein's report doesn't make any other recommendations.
Yeah, in the interest of expediting this process, I honestly think that we can move ahead on this, Mr. Beverly, right now.
Fantastic.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Beverly, your application's been approved. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting and send that document to you.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening, everyone.
Have a good evening, sir. Let's move on to item number 12, 23-ZB-100V, Robin Shepherd.
Is Ms. Shepherd present?
Yes.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Could I have your name and address, please?
Robin Shepherd, 181 Lakeside Drive North, Piscataway, 08854.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you would like to do here?
We'd like to replace our back porch with a new porch that has a portico, a roof over it.
Mr. Chadwick?
The site impact report doesn't have any comments as to the reconstruction of the porch, but there are some questions. The survey doesn't show the fence that's on the property now, so it's should be updated. The is a fence easement necessary from the prior resolution when you were before the board previously, and that easement shown. There's also, in terms of relocation, the walkway and the walkway easement don't coincide. And that was one of the prior conditions,
right,
to correct that. Updated survey showing that the easement has been relocated and the proper documentation for anybody in the future. And there's the last issue is, you observe this bamboo on your property?
On the opposite side by the woods, on the opposite side of the easement.
It's an invasive species. It's regulated by township ordinance, and the recommendation is either remove it or build a trench 24 inches deep around it so it'll be contained. Otherwise, it's just going to spread and spread and spread. The 24 inches, they're a low-rooted plant, and you have your choice of either taking it out or putting a trench around it to stop it from spreading.
Okay, we'll put a trench.
Okay. And the get the updated survey, which you need to do anyway.
Okay.
Because it's the prior condition was you relocate it. You can talk to Mr. Hinzenstein on how it should be done and give it to your surveyor, and then you'll give the easement to the township and you'll record it.
Okay, Mr. Hinterstein?
Yes.
Okay.
And he call Laura's office and she'll get you in contact.
Okay.
So you agree to those items?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, John, is there anything to mention about a driveway? Any issue there? I don't see it on the site impact, but I was led to believe that there was some issue.
The back porch is not near the driveway at all.
No, we're aware of that, but there are other conditions on the property that need to be addressed once you're in front of us for the porch.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it, man. I'm trying to expedite the process.
Yeah, the driveway, when they relocate the easement, the driveway will no longer be in the easement. Right now it is.
Yeah, but I think the issue is whether or not she needs a paved driveway.
Oh. Is the driveway in poor condition?
No.
It's gravel.
Is it gravel?
Yes, but it's edged with the Belgian block.
I think the recommendation normally is from the road itself, there should be at least 10 feet of pavement off the main road to prevent stones from getting out onto the road to be kicked up into other vehicles and whatnot.
You can dump epoxy on it. That'll work just as well. That's what I did in my driveway.
Or put what?
It's an epoxy. You just pour it, mix it up, and it looks like the gravel driveway, but it's solid surface. No stones bouncing out the street.
And yeah, man, the interest is to keep the gravel off the main road because the tires kick it up and you break windshields and whatnot. So the township, when a situation like this comes in, you come in for something totally unrelated, we have an opportunity to correct a problem on your property. So if you want to go to, is it like a Home Depot, John, where she can get this? It's just a gallon of pour?
No. You know what? Just do the asphalt. That would be simpler.
Oh. I thought
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you discuss it with the engineering planning department that you know about a epoxy that can be mixed in with each stuff? And it makes a solid surface. There aren't going to be any rocks flying anyplace. And if they agree with it, then do that.
Okay. Now, I was under the impression that the driveway would need to be dealt with if we were selling the house.
You're mistaken.
Oh, okay. So then
If you make that a condition, I think we can move ahead with this, ma'am.
Yeah, I can. All right, so I have to discuss, call the planning department to discuss what to do?
Again, Mr. Hinterstein is the go-to guy.
Okay, I got it.
Do you want to move this back or make it a condition? Jim, how should I deal with it?
We can make it a condition.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments?
What do you mean, make it a condition?
The alternative is that we adjourn your matter to another date and let you talk to Mr. Hinterstein in the interim. But if we don't do that and we act on the matter tonight, just make talking to Mr. Hinterstein a condition of the approval, you could move forward sooner.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
You want to wait to speak to Mr. Hinterstein? Or do you want to move ahead tonight?
Well,
With one of the conditions being the 10-foot of asphalt.
Yes, I will do that. That's fine.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'm going to move it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions for this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I will make a motion to approve this application with the conditions we just stated. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Shepherd, your application has been approved with some conditions. We will memorialize this in a written document at our next meeting in January. We'll send that document to you. You'll need that to get your building permit.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great night.
Have a nice holiday.
You too, ma'am. Item number 1322-ZB-69V, Derek Bradshaw and Ida Gonzalez.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Erica Edwards appearing on behalf of the Bradshaws.
Good evening.
So we have Mr. Hinterstein's report here as well. And in the interest of keeping this moving, because it's we know the board has a lot of business on the agenda. We note that Mr. Hinterstein noted that we purchased the property, our property at 1500 Quincy Street. We purchased it with the existing conditions. So in other words, we haven't done anything to the exterior but paint and replace that old wooden fence that was there. However, when we replaced the wooden fence with the vinyl fence that is now there, we placed it in the precise same location. It's the same height, identical dimensions. It's just vinyl rather than wood. When we did that, we unfortunately did not realize that we needed a permit to replace it. We thought we didn't because there was an existing fence, but we made a mistake. And when it was brought to our attention, we went and applied for the permit, tried to, but we were denied because there are variance conditions that are apparent from you know, largely as a function of our fence. So we see Mr. Hinterstein's recommendation here. Candidly, I wish we had reached out to him to speak with him directly, because I'm not sure that we're clear on exactly what he's recommending here, but perhaps Mr. Chadwick can help us understand that.
You know, I think this is the case. The fence is there. You come to a resolution. Mr. Hinterstein's report is pretty clear. You obviously want to further discuss it. And I would suggest you carry this matter and speak with Mr. Hinterstein directly before the meeting in January.
You think he would meet us out there, Mr. Chadwick?
I can't speak for him. Sure, I'm sure he would. But okay. It's just a matter of scheduling.
Okay.
All right, that's the recommendation, you think? You okay with that, Ms. Edwards?
Yes, I think that's a fine recommendation.
Yeah, I think that'd be prudent, to be honest with you. Okay. Laura? Is the 11th becoming packed now or no?
Not yet, January 11th.
Okay.
And if any revised plans are to be given, they have to be in 10 days before the meeting.
Understood. And would you like us to extend the time for the board to make a decision? Because I believe the time expires at the end of this month.
Yes, I'll look tomorrow and I'll email it to you.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your help.
Have a great evening.
You too. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Same, man.
So anybody here on the Bradshaw and Gonzalez application 1500 Quincy Street, this will be continued to January 11, 2024 with no further notice by the applicant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good evening. Let's move on to item number 15-23-ZB-103V, BJ Singal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and esteemed members of the board and board professionals. My name is Tim Arch, attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, here representing VJ Singhal. This is for 446 Second Avenue. I believe the board is familiar with this application. This is an amended prior approval for Mr. Singhal to construct a house. You may recall this house was designed specifically for his handicapped daughter. She's wheelchair bound. She has a very serious condition in which her skin is like crepe paper and abrades very easily. And so part of the design of the home is to maybe make more ample space to allow her to move around freely. So I don't think I need to go into all that testimony over again with Mr. Singhal, although he is here if the board has any direct questions. As you may recall, we were in front of the board not too long ago as a discussion item, because when construction of the house was going to be done, it was discovered that the water table was higher than was previously suspected. So because of that, that led to the design of the house having to be not changed at all, but basically lifted up. And at that time, we were asking to lift it up 5 feet to account for that water table. Mr. Hinterstein was at that meeting, and he actually pointed out that raising it would trigger a variance. He was actually mistaken about that. He has since checked, and there were no variances that were triggered in terms of numbers of floors, and we are not exceeding or even meeting the maximum height for that area. So what we were proposing did not trigger any new variances, but Mr. Hinterstein was indicating that it would that it may exacerbate existing variances. So we filed this amended application. We actually were able to, with our architect, Mr. Mark Marcille, we were able to actually reduce it again slightly, so that we are now raising the home only about 3 feet from what it was. So even slightly less than what we were proposing at the discussion meeting. I think really the only question for the board is whether or not is essentially if the board's decision to grant the variances at the original hearing would have been different had the building been 3 feet higher. It doesn't trigger any new variances. It's still underneath the maximum height for that zone, which is 35 feet. We are significantly under that. And really it comes down to, and the only comment that Mr. Hinterstein has on his report is that the necessary testimony would have to be put on the record to justify this. Well, frankly, it's because of the water table. That's a topological feature of the undersized lot. I think would fall under a C1 hardship argument. But again, I don't think that we have to go through the rehashing all the testimony of Mr. Hall and Mr. Marcille. Mr. Marcille is here and he's available in case there is any questions from the board or the board professionals. But I think it really just comes down to the question of if that home design was 3 feet taller at the original application, would that have changed the board's unanimous vote to approve this? Or would the board still have voted? And I'll also point out no members of the public voiced the objection at the initial hearing. And although we haven't opened it up to the public yet, I would hope that there's no members of the public objecting to this. So
Any members? I got it from here, Tim. Are there any other members of the board that have any questions or comments about this? Mr. Arch, did Henry shoot you an email or send you a letter stating that that statement you just made about there being no variance on books or anything?
Yes, he did. I actually emailed him after that meeting to ask if he could actually direct me to the part of the ordinance that that he was citing, and he emailed me back to say that he was mistaken, that he was actually thinking of, I believe, another town potentially that he had worked in. So he did confirm that. I think it was an honest mistake, obviously.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I think you ought to put on the maximum height allowed in the zone is, Mr. Arch.
Maximum height in the zone is 35 feet, and we are actually, Mark, if you're here, do you have the you know the height that we are at?
What?
Yes.
Height proposed now
is height proposed is 30.45 feet.
30.45.
And what was it when the original application was approved?
27.53.
Yeah, that's the 3 feet that Mr. Exactly Arch is talking about.
Feet. Yeah, exactly 3 feet. Yes.
I don't think that's an issue.
But it's considerably less than the maximum allowed.
Correct.
Correct.
Agreed. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
I have one, Chairman. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
His name is Rob.
Rob, can you raise your right hand? I need to swear you in.
Can you see me? Or hear me?
I can see your name.
We can hear you, sir.
Okay.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Rob Croteau, 429 Patton Avenue, directly behind the lot.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
My only comment, I missed the original. We were away and couldn't see it, but I don't have a problem with the house and all that. It's just that by raising it, I just want to make sure the grading does not put any water towards my property.
Fair enough question, sir.
That's my only issue. And if you know the history of those few houses, there used to be a drainage ditch through there that has been, as work was done on each house, was filled in over the years. So I think that's your water issue.
If I could address that, Chairman, we don't have our engineer, John DuPont, here. I can say that I did confirm with him that the raising of the home does not change anything to do with the grading or the stormwater or the or any of the engineering that was originally proposed. And in designing and building this house, I believe there's actually going to be improved stormwater management on the site because of our proposal. I believe there's I think there may be a dry well or some stormwater management measures that are taken. But again, I'm not an engineer, so I can't testify specifically to that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Arch. Any other questions, sir?
No, that was all. Just
okay. Thank you for your input. Any other members of the public out there have any questions about this application?
No, Chairman.
Okay. Close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Minarondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
We'll memorialize it in January.
Thank you so much.
Can I say something, Mr. Chairman?
Take care. Have a good evening.
Yeah, no, my daughter was waiting for that day and you gave her that Christmas gift. So
we're glad to help out. Our hearts warm when we help residents out with situations like that. So you're more than welcome.
Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, my blessing. Don't worry about it. Item number 16, 23-ZB-20V, CZ Piscataway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is still Tim Arch, still licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey. I am here representing CZ Piscataway LLC. This is a bifurcated use variance. I'm sure the board is aware, but just to reiterate, a bifurcated use variance, we're here asking for a use that is not permitted. If granted, we would then be coming back to the board with a full site plan. So there may be some aspects or some specific questions that really are more appropriate to be addressed at the site plan rather than the bifurcated use variance. But we are asking for the use in order to construct a self-storage facility in a residential zone. There are some Additional variances that we've also identified, but again, all those will be addressed at the site plan. But we are addressing maximum building height, maximum building coverage. Those are the main ones. Obviously, the use as a self-storage, and then there is a parking deficiency. Required is 256 spaces. Proposed are 17 spaces. That sounds like it is an astronomical difference. But what you will find, and I think what you'll find through our testimony and actually what is backed up by your own experts, report from Dolan and Dean, is that the needs of parking and the traffic generated by self-storage is extremely low. And the ordinance and the parking calculations in the town are really not designed with self-storage in mind in any regard. So that's why you get that big disparity between what is required in parking and what is the reality actually required in parking. And again, I've alluded to, we have some reports. We have Mr. Hinterstein's report from December 11th. We have a DPW memo from October 23rd that essentially just says they will not comment until the site plan. We have a Dolan and Dean's report from November 6th, which I alluded to, which indicated that our parking variance is can be granted with no negative impacts. There will be no additional traffic impacts, and that we are actually providing more parking than what the equivalent of RSIS standard would be for self-storage in that area. And then finally, our last report is Mr. Chadwick's report of November 17th. So tonight I do have three witnesses. I have James Coakley. He's the representative of CZ Piscataway. I then have Mr. Matt Sharrow. He's from Dynamic Engineering. And then finally, Allison Coffin is our professional planner. We also have our architect here as well, if the board has any questions. But again, I think the architecture will be more directed towards the site plan application, although we do have, I believe, a sign detail that was presented. Just to address one comment in Mr. Hinterstein's report, we are agreeing, I believe, to all of Mr. Hinterstein's comments. The only one that I think really we needed to address was moving the sign. We have we were presenting a freestanding sign or a monument sign that we were proposing at 8 feet from the right of way. He wanted it to be 10 feet. We will comply with that. Okay. So without any further ado, I believe Mr. Coakley is ready to be sworn in and testify.
May I interrupt 1 second before we start the testimony? Mr. Arch, have you going to have testimony relevant to the riparian question?
Yes, Mr. Sharrow will address that, but
let me ask you the question. Have you had an approval from DEP yet?
No, I don't believe we've had an approval from DEP, but I can tell you there are no wetlands on that property. Again, Mr. Sharrow can address that.
That has nothing to do with it. You got a stream next to your property, you get impacted by the riparian.
My understanding is that there is no riparian buffer, but again, I'll have Mr. Sharrow address that because he's much more qualified to address it than I am, Mr. Chadwick.
I suggest we have that testimony first, to be convincing, because if there is a riparian buffer required, it'll have a significant impact on the use of the property. Well, not the use, but how much you can use on that lot. So I don't want to go through, you know, whatever time it is, and we find out that, oops, we can't do it.
Understood. If it's the board's pleasure, I can start with Mr. Sharrow of Dynamic Engineering. And
I think we should get disposed of that issue.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Yeah, Mr. Arch, I'd like to proceed that way as well.
Certainly. Mr. Sharrow is available and I believe is ready to be sworn in.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Your name and address, please.
It's Matthew Sharrow, Dynamic Engineering, 1904 Main Street in Lake Como, New Jersey.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Mr. Sharrow, if you could just briefly give us the benefit of your credentials and let us know if you've ever been accepted as an expert in front of Piscataway boards.
So I've been practicing engineer for over 20 years now, PE since 2016. I'm a principal at Dynamic Engineering. I've been accepted at the planning board in Piscataway, and then multiple municipalities around Piscataway and throughout
the state of New Jersey. That's fine, sir. Your qualifications are good.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
All right, Matt, I'm going to just give you the floor if you can please address Mr. Chadwick's concerns, I guess, initially.
Sure, no problem. So because this is not a cat, can I share my screen so everybody has an idea of what we're talking about here?
Sure.
Can everybody see?
Yes.
All right, so this is the colorized version of the site plan that was submitted, schematic site plan that was submitted as part of this application.
So this can be marked as A1 since it's different from the submittal?
Sure. It's, I'll just, for the record, it's site and schematic landscape planning rendering prepared by Dynamic Engineering, dated 12/14/2023.
Thanks.
So the question here is, we went out and did a walk of the site to determine if there was wetlands. It was determined that there was not wetlands associated with this brook, Dottie's Brook. But there is a buffer to the top of bank of the brook. So that's what was flagged, was the top of bank of the brook. So that is what these on the map that you see, and I'll zoom in a little bit for everybody to see. So you see these flat, these markers A1, A2, all the way up through A11.
Yeah.
And there was more that went off the property. That is the top of bank for Dottie's Brook. And associated with that is a 50-foot buffer. And that 50-foot buffer is this line right here. If you can all see on my screen that I'm traveling along, it's the multi-dash with the dot line. That's the 50-foot buffer to the top of bank associated with the Dottie's Brook. So as you can see, it basically falls off the property for most of it, except for the southwest or northwest corner and the northeast corner of the property, where we are not impacting that area at all. And just to further the DEP questions, there is also a flood hazard area associated with the brook. And that elevation is ranges between 67 and 68 flood elevation. And the improvements of this site are about 10 feet higher than that elevation. So there's no impact from the flood hazard area as well. So from our perspective, from DEP perspective, there's no impact on the brook or the flood hazard area with the improvements of this project.
You didn't address riparian requirements.
This is not a category one. So there's no 300-foot riparian here. It's open water, so it's based on the top of bank.
I'm not talking about 300 feet. Well, you're talking the total width of the riparian, but I'm just talking about generally the applications I've seen last several years. DEP lays a riparian buffer of 150 feet on intermittent streams.
Not because this is state open water. This is based on the top of bank and associated with the flood hazard area. So we're looking at a 50-foot buffer here to the top of bank.
Mr. Chadwick, if I may, as you had indicated before, really that would, if there is a riparian impact, that would impact the site plan more so than it would impact really this bifurcated use variance.
I think it would relate to your proposal well, because you're asking for coverage variances and various other variances. They might all go away if we had to deal with riparian, but I'm not going to get argumentative. I've heard the testimony. The expert says this is open state waters and doing from top of bank. And I'm not going to comment on whether DEP is always consistent or not.
I won't comment on that either, Mr. Chadwick.
And it's safe to say, Mr. Shower, just to piggyback on that, obviously DEP would have jurisdiction, and we will obviously have to follow whatever DEP regulations are imposed. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to get caught flat-footed on this thing. Have you got any permits from DEP at this point?
We have not.
Have you approached them?
No, because we would need full site plans for that.
One of the reasons that we're requesting the bifurcated.
I mean, we've had several applications where we had use variances and all of a sudden DEP gets into the act and the project disappeared.
Mr. Chadwick, if I could,
I accept your... Is that for me?
No, somebody's got a feedback. The phone's too close to their mic. John, proceed.
I think we can accept the testimony and they go with their own risk. I mean, they haven't approached DEP. They're going from their experience and their knowledge of the regulations. And I'll accept that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Proceed, Mr. George.
So, Mr. Chair, since you already have the floor, if you can just take us through the rest of your testimony, and then I'll double back to Mr. Coakley for his testimony.
Sure thing. So, real quick, I just want to go through some existing conditions, some proposed conditions of the property, and I'll make this quick because everybody knows where we're at here. This is Block 5601, Lot 2.05. The address is 1659 South Washington Avenue, also known as County Route 655. Let me share my screen again. Screen share. Can everybody see the screen?
Yes.
All right. So this is a colorized version of the aerial map exhibit prepared by Dynamic Engineering. This will be A2. Yes. Prepared by Dynamic Engineering, dated 12/14/2023. The property in question is located at the center of the screen. For the purposes of this presentation, north is to the left of the screen, noted by the north arrow at the top right corner. To the north of the site is the Piscataway Town Center. To the east of the site is vacant county-owned land that's wooded up here. To the south of the site is more county-owned land with a residential use and municipal land, owned land beyond. To the west is South Washington Avenue with industrial park across the street. And moving on to a more detailed look at existing conditions. This is an aerial map exhibit at 30 scale, prepared by Dynamic Engineering, dated 12/14/2013. I'll call it Exhibit A3. This just shows you a better view of what's going on site today. There are some multiple structures on site with a driveway, a couple curb cuts along South Washington Avenue, some sheds, some two-story residential structures, garage, some equipment stored in the back, mostly cleared for the residential portion and then some wooded area. The brook, just so everybody's aware, the brook is located basically along this zone line between the town center and the property in question. Moving on to proposed conditions. This is, again, exhibit A1, I believe we called it, site and schematic landscaping plan rendering. I'm just gonna walk you through the plan really quick. As you enter the site through a full movement driveway along South Washington Avenue, you have a 24-foot drive aisle that circulates around the entire building. For full two-way circulation around the building. As you come up to the front corner of the building, you have 8 parking stalls for access to some units, as well as the office. Then you have a security gate, which allows you to access the rest of the property. Behind that security gate, you have 9 parking stalls located here. Those are for patrons to use while they're there. And then we have a 30-foot wide loading zone along the south side of the building. At the end of that loading zone is your 10 by 20 trash enclosure. As we work our way around the site, you see the 24-foot wide drive aisle that has full movement in both directions, as well as the 10-foot striped area along the building. This is for loading and unloading of the at-grade units, as well as gives a little bit more room for trucks, moving trucks or vehicles to pass each other. As you work your way around the site, and back towards the front, there's another security gate. And then you can exit the site from this driveway. This is schematic landscaping, but obviously we would plant some evergreens along the front and sides of the improvements to buffer the, supplement and buffer the existing trees and landscaping to remain. There's some decorative landscaping as you enter the site around the proposed ID sign. The ID sign would be set back to 10 feet as suggested, and would obviously be out of any site triangles as suggested. And then we have a little bit of landscaping as you enter the site to pretty up that front office area. It's a pretty straightforward storage application here. There's nothing too crazy about it. And as noted before, it's a 42,574 square foot footprint, three stories high, for a total of 127,722 square feet.
Thank you, Mr. Sharrow. And just to confirm, you've had an opportunity to look over all the reports, correct?
I have, yes.
Okay. And you don't see anything in those reports that we can't comply with, correct?
Not at all, no.
All right. I have no further direct questions for Mr. Sharrow.
Do any members of the board have any questions, Mr. Sharrow?
I have a question.
Please do.
Is there any hydrants around that building, that structure at all, in the event of a fire?
You know what? I will look for that. I know there's a water main that runs through South Washington Avenue. So let me take a look while you go to the next witness. And I can come back.
You can double back. Good.
Yeah, we can double back. I don't want to waste time looking and
appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll come back to you, Artie.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Arch, please go to your next witness.
Yeah, no, I have a question.
Oh, entrance, I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah. Entrance and exit are going to be only from the northbound side of traffic, or is it going to be people heading southbound as well? Will people be able to drive across the two lanes and take a left turn coming out?
They can. But yeah, no, it's basically for the northbound side of the road.
I'll also indicate that that is a county roadway. So movements on that roadway and those sorts of things are going to be obviously under the county's jurisdiction when we make that application to them, if we are approved. And you'll also have an opportunity to see that more fully fleshed out during the site plan if we are approved for this.
Do you know off the top of your head if that's a double yellow line there?
Where would it be? It is not right there. That's why we placed it down that way. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks, Steve. Any other members of the board have any questions? Hearing none, move on to your next witness, Mr. Arch.
Okay. Great. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. You'll get back to us, right?
Yeah, I'm going to look right now.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Yeah, Mr. Sheriff, you can just stop sharing your... thank you. There we go. Next witness would be, let's go back to Mr. James Coakley.
Mr. Coakley, are you present?
Yes.
Would you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Sure. James Coakley, on behalf of CZ Piscataway, 134 West 29th Street, New York, New York, 10001.
Thank you.
Mr. Coakley, if you can, just briefly tell the board a little bit about yourself, about CZ Piscataway, and about why it is that that this site is so suitable, or that Piscataway is so suitable for this use.
Sure. Thank you. Good evening, Chairman and members of the board. As mentioned, James Coakley on behalf of CZ Piscataway. We appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Our firm is a privately owned developer and operator of self-storage facilities. We've been doing such since about year 2000. We've been developing Class A facilities throughout the New Jersey, Metro New York City area. In that time, we've developed probably in excess of 3 million square feet of similar projects to what we're proposing here tonight in Piscataway. We make long-term investments in the communities where we develop.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. And ultimately, we think that the residents and business owners of Piscataway will be very happy and pleased with what we can bring to the community here. We've performed significant diligence and market analysis And we're very pleased with the strong business fundamentals that we've uncovered here in Piscataway. We've taken into account existing storage facilities that are operating now, in addition to anything that has been, you know, proposed or under construction. And in our analysis, we still believe that this particular trade area is significantly underserved, especially when compared to other trade areas and on a national level. We think we're going to be a very complementary fit along South Washington Avenue, especially with some of the current development that's going on across the street, the JLL project. And for that, we think that we're going to be, you know, it's going to be a successful operation. You know, the flexibility that storage adds, you know, it really fills the need of both local residents and small businesses. You know, we're proposing to develop a Class A modern storage facility. The facility will have a mix of different size storage units that will all be housed within a climate controlled environment. We are not proposing any outside storage at this particular facility. The site will have, you know, modern safety and security features, which will include, you know, site lighting, digital security cameras, computerized access control systems, as well as on-site staff for support purposes. We anticipate that the facility would be staffed by 3 to 4 employees, 7 days a week. Our store, or, you know, office hours typically range between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, usually a little shorter day on Sunday. You know, customers, we would expect to have grant access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night, and that would be done via the controlled access systems. You know, I know we, you know, we have other professionals here that can, you know, continue to provide other insight, but I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Thank you. Mr. Kozlik, just a real quick to piggyback on your testimony. So just to touch upon the parking, based on your experience with self-storage and based on what you just indicated with the number of employees that you anticipate being there, do you see that the amount of parking that we're offering is more than adequate for both customers and for employees at the site?
Absolutely. Probably in my experience, probably double of what we really need, but
in excess.
We're fortunate to have the area that we can provide it, so we will.
Okay, excellent. And there's not going to be any boat or RV storage there. You had indicated outdoor storage, but does that include that?
That's correct.
Okay. I have no more further questions of Mr. Coakley.
Any members of the board have any questions or comments?
I have one question, if not board members.
Go ahead, John.
The individual units, are they going to have any electric outlet, lights, anything in there? Or are they open a door and you get the light from the hallway?
Yes, Mr. Chad, yeah, typically there won't be any outlets inside. There would be outlets in some of the hallways for staff for cleaning purposes. They typically have a key lock over them so people can't plug electric cords and things like that in them. And then the lighting in the hallways would be on a sensor system so that they don't stay on all night if nobody's there, obviously. Some of the larger units will have a convenience light located in it, but again, that would also be tied into the hallway lighting system as well on a sensor. So they're raised up pretty high so people can't get into them.
Okay. And you have all the other standards, no fuel, no any, you know, no guns, no any of that stuff can go in.
No e-bikes, no lithium batteries, none of those good things, absolutely.
Okay.
What would the hours of operation be?
So again, the office hours for staff and customers would be 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And then, yeah, again, maybe the same or a little shorter on Sunday. And then access hours for clients would be 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Any other members of the board have any questions?
Yeah, just one. Is the building going to be sprinklered in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely. It'll be fully sprinklered.
Okay.
Thanks, Hardy. Anyone else? Okay, Ms. Starch, you can move on.
Thank you. Our final witness tonight is Ms. Allison Coffin, our professional planner.
Ms. Coffin, could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth.
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Allison Coffin, spelled C-O-F-F-I-N. I work for James W. Higgins Associates. We're at 14 Tilton Drive in Ocean Township, New Jersey.
I believe Mrs. Coffin has been accepted as a professional planner before this board on prior occasions.
I believe so.
My license and certification are still in good standing.
That's good news.
If you can, the floor is yours. Please give us the benefit of your expert analysis.
Sure. The property that we're looking at tonight is a 3.7 acre, irregularly shaped lot. It's got 455 feet of frontage on South Washington Avenue, which is a four-lane road. The lot contains two detached structures, which tax records indicate were both dwellings. The surrounding area is not developed residentially. The lot to the north is a large-scale retail center across Dottie's Brook. The area to the west across South Washington is developed with a large industrial park. There appears to be a tree recycling operation of some sort south of the site, also on South Washington. And surrounding the site itself on three sides is county open space with municipally owned lands further to the south. The applicant is requesting the board's permission to develop the site with a three-story self-storage use that's supported by 17 parking spaces, landscaping, lighting, fencing, and a freestanding sign. Though the site is in the R20 residential zone where this use is not permitted, so the applicant is requesting D1 variance relief. There's some other bulk variances that will be associated with this application. A height where 35 feet is the limit, and the building is 38.33. A building coverage where 20% is permitted, and they're requesting 26 and change. Parking, which again looks significant on paper at 256 spaces, and they're proposing 17. Parking and driveways accessing a commercial use in a residential zone. Fence height and freestanding sign, again, commercial uses in a residential zone. It's my opinion that special reasons exist for the granting of the use variance and that the site is particularly suited to the proposed use, and there's no significant detriment to the zone planning or the surrounding properties that would result from this variance. This subject site is exceptionally large for the zone, having an area that's like 12 times the minimum required for the zone. It's extremely deep. It is the only property in the R20 zone that is north of the traffic light on South Washington, that traffic light that serves the industrial park across the street, a location which distinguishes the site from the remainder of the R20 zone, and it is not currently served by public sewer. The proposed self-storage use is ideal for the site, which is located in an area of transition from high-intensity retail and industrial use to the county open space and the municipally owned parcels to the south. The use itself is quiet and has low traffic volumes. The shape and depth of the site allows for the building to be placed at an angle to the frontage, which combined with landscaping and fencing will soften the appearance of this structure from the roadway. And the indoor nature of site activity limits impacts in terms of noise, and any potential impact on Dottie's Brook. Therefore, the proposed self-storage use on this site makes an effective and appropriate use of what is a unique property. And in so doing, this variance advances the purposes of the municipal land use law with regard to providing space in an appropriate location for this type of commercial use. Now, this is a bifurcated application, but if the board would like to have some comfort with the bulk variance relief that's being requested, I can address that in broad strokes. If that would be appropriate at this time.
The more we get on the record, the better, I think.
You got it then. So some of these variances, the bulk variances being requested, are directly related to the application of residential zoning standards to what is a non-residential use. So those would be subsumed within the use variance requested. And that's the height. The ordinance height limit of 35 feet is intended to control single-family residential use. In the zones where self-storage is permitted, the LI1 and the LI5 zones, the height allowed is 40 to 50 feet, which indicates that the height proposed is appropriate for this use. The building coverage, also as with height, the building coverage is intended to control residential use, and the coverage that's proposed is appropriate for this use. The parking in a residential zone, if the board sees fit to grant the use variance, then the parking associated for this use and the access for this use would also have to be located in the same site. And same with the freestanding sign. Signage that's proposed is appropriate and it's required for the use to function. The
biggest variance that the applicant is requesting is for the parking. But the parking that's proposed is appropriately scaled to the use. The ITE's fifth edition parking generation manual would indicate a demand for a self-storage facility of this size of 13 spaces, as is, you know, stated in your board's traffic expert review letter. So the 17 parking spaces that the applicant's proposed is more than adequate and can be granted in a manner that would not have an imposition on the public. In fact, I think overparking it at 256 spaces, well, this operator has said that they have no interest in outdoor storage of vehicles as part of their business model. Having too much parking on a self-storage facility does create that sort of temptation. So we're far better having those 17 parking spaces than more than 200, if 17 is enough to operate the facility. There's also a 6-foot high fence in the front yard, and that's for security purposes. The applicant is proposing to screen that fence fully with 7 to 8 foot cedars, at least on this concept plan, and that may become more extensive landscaping at the time of site plan. So this fence will not be viewed publicly. These variances can be granted also under the C2 standard. They allow the site to be developed in a manner which advances the purposes of the municipal land use law, providing adequate light, air, and open space, and providing sufficient space for a commercial use in an appropriate location. And the benefits of these variances would outweigh the detriments. The benefits include permitting the applicant to properly develop the site, and there would be no significant detriment that results from the bulk variances. The variances, in my opinion, would not substantially impair the intent and purpose of your master plan and zoning ordinance. The site itself present contains non-conforming uses, or was in the past developed with two residences on one lot. And the site is unique and distinct from the remainder of the nearby R20 zone. The proposed use in this case is uniquely suited to this unique property.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Tim, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ask if anyone members, any members of the board have any questions or comments? We good, John?
Yes.
Okay. Hearing none, I guess you can make your summation, Mr. Arch.
If I can just, double back. We did get confirmation from Mr. Sharrow. There is a fire hydrant on the property or on the, I guess, on the along the roadway. And obviously any sort of issues with fire will be addressed at the site plan. I don't know if Mr. Sharrow, if we need any more information from Mr. Sharrow to answer that. I forget which member of the board asked that question about the
hydrant. It was Artie Heidecker. Could you put that picture up and tell us where the fire hydrant is on the property?
Sure. Well, it's not on the property.
Yes.
Can you ever see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
So it's not on the property. This is the right-in entrance to the industrial facility across the street. There is a fire hydrant right here across the street.
So it's on the opposite side of the South Wash.
It's on the opposite side of South Washington, directly across from the facility.
Artie, does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, I would prefer that if they put one on that property in the event of a fire, you're going to shut down all of Washington Avenue,
right,
and we're going to create a major traffic problem.
Yeah, as I said, at site plan, I think this will be more thoroughly looked into, especially by, you know, fire safety and all that sort of stuff. That's certainly something that I think will be addressed during site plan.
Okay.
Your client indicated that this building would be fully sprinkled.
Correct.
So there's going to have to be, you know, public water brought onto the site for sure.
Yeah, there'll be domestic water and fire service.
Okay, we can address that down the road. Any other members of the board have any questions, comments? It's all up to you, Tim. Summations?
I don't think there's really much need to.
I totally agree. You're in, and we're totally in agreement with Henry Hinterstein's side impact, correct? We said that?
Yes.
We're going to agree with all the reports.
Got it. Okay.
Agreed all the reports and move the sign. That was the.
Let's keep it short and sweet. I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I would make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Regio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
I'm sorry, who seconded the motion?
Artie Hidaka.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jim.
We'll memorialize it in January.
Thank you so much, everybody. Everybody have a wonderful
holiday
and a happy new year. And thank you for being so efficient tonight, too.
Thank you.
The resolution, the board retains jurisdiction on the site plan.
Well, the board does.
Okay.
They have to come back here for the site plan. That's jurisdiction.
Good.
Yeah, policy wise, I don't know whether the resolution at this time. I'm concerned that DEP may act different than your expert believes. I think there should be a restriction of filing the site plan, assume you have approval, that you have DEP at least tentative approval of all of the permits that you need before you go forward.
Mr. Coakley, is that something that you would agree to, or
you're gonna have to get them?
Well, I understand. You're correct. I understand that. I'm just for timing purposes, I wouldn't want to be prevented from proceeding at our risk with site plan on a township level if we are still held up with DEP. So perhaps just confirmation that there is no 150.
What timing? Right, if you can't get by DEP, what are you talking about timing? What does that?
I'm saying because going in front of the township with a site plan, obviously the goal would be to submit those both simultaneously in front of the township while we're pursuing our DEP approvals as well. So I wouldn't want one to necessarily hold up the other. And again, it would be at our risk to proceed forward.
You've heard my recommendation. Your board's heard your comments as well.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be in touch with you for some line agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Arch.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Let's move on to item number 20, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of November 9th, 2023.
First resolution, Marza Khaled Beg, which you voted to approve.
You went out, Jim.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel? Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next one is Gayatri Naye, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have this evening.
Item number 21 is adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of November 9th, 2023. All in favor say aye.
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 Item number 22 is adjournment. All in favor say aye.
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 Always a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. I thought we'd be here a little bit longer, but you got a great chairman.
All right. Happy and healthy new year, everyone.
Happy holidays.